just want to say, I've changed the sender that it sits here. So I'm not scratching my bum, just so that you know. And for those people on, I know it looks awkward, and especially because I'm not used to the thing here, so it takes some time to find it. And then you go like, okay, is it now on or off? So if it looks awkward, don't worry, it feels awkward. So our scripture reading this morning comes from, I think it's Matthew 3. Hey? Is it Matthew 3? Is it not? Oh, it's John 1. It's John 1. It links onto that. Okay. Yes, yes, yes. Can you see how well prepared I am this morning? Okay. So, this is the calling, the calling of the first disciples. So, the next day, John was there with two of his disciples. When he saw Jesus passing by, he said, "Look, the Lamb of God." When the two disciples heard him say this, they followed Jesus. Turning around, Jesus saw them following and asked, "What do you want?" They said, "Rabbi," which means teacher, "where are you staying?" "Come," he replied, "and you will see." So they went and saw where he was staying and spent that day with him. It was about the 10th hour, around about 4 o'clock. Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, was one of the two who heard what John had said and who had followed Jesus. The first thing Andrew did was to find his brother Simon and tell him, "We have found the Messiah, that is the Christ." And he brought him to Jesus. Jesus looked and said, "You are Simon, son of John. You will be called Cephas," which when translated is Peter. And that's our scripture reading for this morning. Now, I don't know if you, give me a moment just to nerd out a little bit. Just sort of like doomy talk. Okay? The Bible is full of firsts. I don't know if you've noticed this. Something that the first time that you encounter it in the Bible, it's normally something that's foundational, a baseline. It's something that is a frame of reference that when you read it, you actually have to just take a moment and just consider what you're reading there. I'll give you a couple of examples. Think about creation. Obviously, it was created, Genesis 1, 2, 3. But if you want to know anything about humanity, about the human condition, about, you know, why we are the way that we are, first place to start, Genesis 1, 2, 3. There you see everything there. You know, you everything you need to know about people as a foundation. Obviously, it gets elaborated on and explained more further through scriptures, but the foundational place, Genesis 1, 2, 3. That's where you see humanity at its first encounter. If you want to understand marriage, it's also in Genesis 1, 1, 2, 3, but chapter 2, where the first time Adam sees Eve. And he goes like, "Whoa, man, woman, you know, that's amazing." So and then if you nobody caught that. Oh, it's sort of like, yeah. I just thank you, Marita. I was just so scared that it's going to be one of those days that it just goes like straight over. But there's hope still. The thing about it is, if you want to understand marriage, then you have to go to Genesis 2:24. It's foundational, very, very foundational. And all through scriptures, you find this. Wherever you find a first, when it gets introduced into scriptures, into the Bible, you have to take note of that first, because that first is something that you and I have to learn from, because it's foundational, it's a frame of reference. It's something that was put there to say, hey, have a look at this. And the story you've just read is a story of a first, the first disciples that follow Jesus. And in this story, there are foundational principles that you and I would be wise to stop, listen to, and consider when it comes to the area of following Jesus or the Christian life, to be a believer, a Jesus follower. So what I want to do this morning is I want to highlight three things from that story. But let me start off by giving credit where credit is due. Now, for those of you who haven't been here or haven't watched online, This story had a little bit of a backstory where John started a massive revival, probably the biggest one in the history of Israel, in the sense that up until that point, the Jews thought, well, because I'm circumcised, because I'm a Jew, I was born a Jew, eternity is sorted for me. And when John started ministering and the Holy Spirit started convicting people on a national scale, for the first time in the history of Israel, people actually began to realize, oh, crumb, sin is not just, you don't confess your sins and do sacrifices just to bless your crop and your finances and your children and your donkeys and whatever. I stand accountable before God for sin. It was the first time they had that awareness. And because John also told them, listen, your heritage, where you come from, it's not enough. It's just not enough. And so there was this massive move, and he was this mighty prophet. But give him credit, he knew what his role was. He was never the guy that took the shine for himself. In actual fact, God revealed to him. He said to him, "Great, listen, you're going to see the Holy Spirit descend upon someone. That someone, he is the Messiah." And so last week's story at the baptism of Jesus, I love the Greek. Heaven was torn open. The Holy Spirit descended. The Father spoke. And it remained upon Jesus. And then John knew, this is the Lamb of God. This is the guy. And he never took the shine for himself. He just continuously said, hey, there's the Lamb of God. There's the Lamb. That's the one who takes away the sins of the world. He pointed to Jesus the whole time. Two of his disciples, in the story that we read, actually sort of took this to heart. Now remember, this was a national move. Everybody was either going to the Jordan to be baptized for the repentance of their sins, or everybody was waiting for the Messiah. It was a massive, the whole nation knew. But just two guys, Andrew, and the early church speculated or said, but we've got no evidence from scriptures. They said the other one was John, the other John, not the Baptist, the other John. They said, we think that was the buddy. But these two guys, actually, when John again says, but listen, yeah, there goes the Lamb of God. They decided, okay, let's go and have a look. And in this story, you find life's biggest question, life's biggest need, and life's most amazing invitation. Biggest question, biggest need, most amazing invitation. So you've got these two dudes walking sheepishly behind Jesus. Because remember, he's a rabbi. And John has just said, this guy is the Messiah. So how do you go up to this dude? You don't come up and say, hey, I'm Jacques, Mr. Messiah. That's not what you do. So they're sort of like stalking him, walking behind him. And at some stage, Jesus looks around and he sees these two guys. And he asks them this question. What do you want? Life's most important question. What do you want? See, as humans, all of us, and I know this comes as a surprise to some of you, you go like, no, I'm not like that. No, this is true of all humans. All of us do everything because we want a reward or a specific outcome. We don't do things just because we do things. We want something from the action that we do. You dress the way that you do because, in my case, I don't want people to throw me with stuff. In your case, you probably want people to say, sure, you look so smart today. Think about a piece of cake. Same piece of cake on a platter. There it is. Beautiful carrot cake, like just my wife can bake it. I promise you, you can't beat her carrot cake. I've got evidence. I carried it along with me. So, here's the thing. Same piece of cake. Hey, don't speak out of the house, ne? Okay? Same piece of cake. One person will look at that piece of cake and go like, sorry, no, not interested. The next one will take that piece of cake and eat it like a Somalian refugee. Whoop, done. The reason for it is, and both, same thing, different choices because they differ. Both of them want something different. The one person says, well, I'm watching my weight. The other one says, just I need some comfort. And you can go a little bit deeper in terms of, why are you watching your weight? Well, I want to be accepted by people, and skinny is in nowadays, so therefore, That's why I'll rather not have the cake. Whereas, you know, the other ones is, no, my boss was the idiot. I need some comfort. You know, he just rejected me. He was angry. I've got emotional battle, so comfort food. All of us do this. We do things because you want a reward. You want a specific outcome. And when these two guys were following Jesus, Jesus stops. He looks at them and he goes like, dudes, do you actually know what you want? See, our attention, our resources, our efforts, all goes into what we want. And the most fundamental question you and I can ask one another is, or ourselves, what is it that you want? Why do you do what you do? Why do you do that? Now, please, please, you all look nice. You smell nice. Yeah. Yes. You're nice people. You look holy. You look churchy. Okay? You do. But when you answer this question, don't be religious. Don't be fake. Because when you answer the question, you have to be brutally honest with yourself. The Christian life is born in a place of honesty. If you're not honest in terms of what you want, if you're going to come with something, well, I know what I'm supposed to want, but I know what I actually want, that difference, that's where most people live, because they think this is the expected answer, instead of actually being honest and saying, this is actually what I want. This is actually what I want. It's about me. Out of thousands and thousands and thousands of people around Jesus in the nation of Israel at that point in time, only two guys in the first story turned to Jesus and said, he's got something. And the most fundamental question in life is, what do you want? And to answer it as honestly as you can with what you've got. What do you want? Life's most important question leads to life's biggest need. Now, I'll start with a confession here. In my mind, I always laughed at these two dudes because I always thought that, you know, when somebody catches you at the fridge while you're eating something skellum, and they go like, what are you doing? It's like, the cake attacked my hand. You know, you come up with just the first thing that comes into your head. The words out long before you thought about it. I always thought that was what these guys did. That they went like, Jesus, what do you want? It's like, where do you stay? And in preparation for today, turns out I was wrong. All the commentators, or commentaries that I read for today, actually seemed to say, well, listen here, but you forgot that they were Jews. For Jews, the place where you stayed was the place where you were planted. It was a place of community. It was a place of connection. And the fact that these guys actually asked Jesus, where you stay? We want to know where you stay. Actually meant they weren't in for just a quick chat or a fly-by-night quick thing. They wanted to know, where are you planted? We actually, by asking, where do you stay? They wanted deeper connection. They wanted to know him. They wanted to find out about, they wanted to test whether what John was saying was actually the truth. Now, the biggest need for all of us as humans is to belong. We want to connect with someone or something. All of us desire connection. That's why we try so hard. That's why part of the choices that we want, the choices that we make, where we put our effort, that's why some of you are here, because you want to connect, not just with other people around you, but you want to connect with God. You want that sense of, I belong somewhere. Even if it's because there are other people in the building that loves K-pop songs. Yeah? I'm not going to point any fingers to who that is. And I can see everybody over 50 going like, what is he talking about? Don't worry. She knows what I'm talking about. But we all want to belong. That's how it's part of humanity. The problem is connection, belonging, is the most difficult thing there is. You remember I talked about Genesis 1, 2, 3? Guess what's the first thing that happens in Genesis 4? This is not just after creation. One brother kills the other brother. Couple of chapters, brother rapes sister. Couple of chapters later, dad has got a clear favorite. What does the one lie to do to the other? He deceives him out of his inheritance, his birthright. What does the brother want to do? He wants to kill him. He has to go flee into the desert just to survive. A couple of chapters further, you've got another kid who sort of like gets sold into slavery by his brothers. You know, all of scriptures speaks about the difficulty of connecting, the difficulty of relationship. And yet, it's the thing that all of us want. We all want to connect with somebody. We want to connect with ourselves. We want to connect with the wider world. We want to connect with God. We all desire connection. And if you go and you take a step back and you look at scriptures, then you see all through scriptures, there's this golden line that flows that we see. God says, listen here, if you want to connect, if you want that biggest need that is in any human being, if you want to have that met, first connect to the one who created you. First connect to God. Because that connection makes the impossibility of relationships possible. You and I were created by God for connection. And these two guys said, God, in this first story, our need, Mr. Messiah, is to connect with you. Biggest need that all of us got, connection. And then comes the biggest invitation, which goes without saying. Jesus didn't laugh at them. He didn't ask whether they qualified. Didn't sort of like, sorry, but you smell like fish, because Andrew probably would have smelled a fish. Didn't go to any of those normal things that would put us off people. All he said was, come. Come. Come and explore. Come just as you are. You smell like fish, but come. Yeah, I can do this. You know, you smell like fish, but come. Just as you are, come and see. Remember Hebrews 4, where the writer of Hebrews says, now we can come with boldness before the throne of grace. The word is there, come. Hey, just come. The invitation is there for you and me to just come. You've got this need. You've got all these things that you want to do, but or that you want, but deep down you've got this need. If you want that need fulfilled, just come. It's there when you and I go to Him, when we connect with the one who created us, that place where we were meant to fit. The moment you and I go there, that's when the DNA of heaven begins to flow through us. That's when we get the ability, the grace, the power to overcome the difficulty and the impossibility of connection, of relationships. It's there with things like honor, glory, power, love, generosity, those type of things. We don't find it in ourselves. You find it in connection with Him. And when you look at the first story, the first people who said, let me test this Jesus thing, see whether He is the Messiah. Then you see that there's this amazing invitation. Come. Come. Just come and have a look. The beautiful thing about it is they stayed the whole day. They absolutely stayed the whole day and the next day, and they followed Him all the way to nearly at the cross. Because apparently they ran away like I would have. No, I wouldn't even have made it that far. But they stayed. And it started by answering this question. What do you want? When you and I do life, and when we consider this whole thing about following Jesus, this story is a first. And it speaks about, what do you want? What's the need? And do you hear the invitation of God? So can I encourage you today? This is a fundamental question. But it's one that you and I have to answer honestly. So as honestly as you can. You know, without any form of judgment. If you're going to answer that question, it's like, don't be like a beauty pageant contestant. Oh, I want world peace. No. Don't say, I'm happy. I want to be happy. What does that mean? Yeah, don't be lazy. Do the work. But be honest enough, courageous enough to actually say, you know what? This is what I want. Because as you begin to engage with that question of what I want, you'll begin to hear all the different voices. You'll hear the voices of what the church says they think you should want. Yeah, you should want to walk on water or, you know, tithe or whatever the church says. That's what they want you to do. And then you will hear the voices of what you see on television, for those of you who still do have televisions. All the advertisements, you know. Buy this cream and put it on your head because all of a sudden you're going to have hair like when you were 20. They don't consider the fact that some of us didn't have hair at 20, you know. But that's a reality. You know, the promise, that's what you want. You want to be accepted. Or you're going to have the right at the back. You're going to have this quiet, consistent voice that says to you, hey, I know what you want. Because I created you. You were created for connection with me. And the moment you go and you hear that voice, it doesn't mean that you're there. Doesn't mean that all of a sudden you will now hear that voice. But it starts with acknowledging, oh crumbs, this is where I am. Because all of us, from Genesis 1 all the way through to today, have found different places where we can find fulfillment. Where we try and find something that can bring us connection, something that can bring us peace, something that can make, in a way, the DNA of heaven flow through our veins and through our lives for just a little bit, something that gives a little bit of peace. The only problem is anything outside of him, as him as the source, guess what it leads to? Slavery. It leads to slavery. In him, it leads to freedom. So, do yourself a favor. Ask yourself, in terms of your journey this year in following Jesus, what do you want? What do you want? And if you can answer that thing, oh, I love that. I'm so ready for grandchildren, it's not even funny. Yeah, that's going to take a while for me just to get that out of my system. My daughter doesn't want to play along, but that's a topic for another day. What do you want? Even if what you find, that what you want differs from what he promises, hear the invitation. It says, come. If you come and you'll see and explore with him, he'll close that gap. And he'll do the impossible in and through you. And the stuff that you've been thinking for, hoping for, dreaming of, desiring, that you think you thought you wanted, they will all be fulfilled in a way that Paul described. Peace that surpasses understanding, the type of peace that makes your neighbors concerned about you. That type of peace, that type of hope, that type of love will fill you in ways that will just enable you to do life and to have life to its fullness. Does that make sense? Good. Let's pray. Father, we have to start with a confession this morning, and the confession is that we tend to fill our lives with a whole bunch of other stuff other than you. And Lord, we've got good justifications and good explanations, But Lord, my prayer for us is that you, in this week, in this time, will give us the grace to actually just be honest and answer your first question to your disciples, to anyone who wants to follow you. What is it that you want? Show us what we want. Lord, our hearts tend to be full of excuses and we're brilliant at deceiving ourselves. But give us the grace to zoom in, to laser in, and to find what it is that we're actually looking for. But not only that, Father, as we begin to answer that question, remind us of your promise, that fulfillment of all our deepest desires, the things we really want, is in you. And then give us the courage to be like Andrew and his buddy, to take you up on your invitation and just to go and see. No strings attached, no judgment, just go and see. Lord, life is in you. Fulfillment is in you. Everything that we desire is in you. Help us to find it in you. And we ask all of this in the name of Jesus. Amen.